They learn the products of the company, and they're glad to be part of that company, and they're working to advance that company. And they don't think of the church in that way. Because it's all natural. They don't realize the shadow. They don't see the reality. They don't take a pride. I get a promotion, you know. I'm a former now, you know. You know, I went up, you know. And they kind of feel good, you know. I have a talky boy, I'm in the mail. Tell the man, look. Move there. Get moving, otherwise, you know, we report you, you know. I went to people, yes, boss, yes. Yes, four. How you doing? I went to fuck, I get some time off. I have to go somewhere. I will think about it. And if I exercise that talk, you enjoy that. And that spirit in that man's subject, because that man recognizes your authority. Well, so when them devils recognize Jesus' authority too, they recognize Paul's authority too the same way. They say, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who is you? You understand? So sometimes you get taken up in that sphere, and you kind of think the church is the world. So you want to get people in the church to know who you are in the cosmos. Or what you have in the cosmos. In the cosmos you might be rich, but in the church you might be poor. Then the Bible in the seminar, it say many of you say you're rich but you're poor. You're poor in faith. You're poor in love. You're poor in grace. You're poor in revelation. You might be eating ham, lamb, and jam. Your food might be full. You might be scraping off things in your dustbin. Because you're no dog. And yet when it comes out to the word, you hardly eating anything. You getting full up of gas. You suffering malnutrition. It's just a way to look at things. You see, this is how people just be in the natural realm thinking that that's spiritual. And they try to make that religious realm spiritual. But the religious realm is not spiritual. The religious realm is exactly what it is, the religious realm. The spiritual realm is where you link with God. Where God talking to you, where God teaching you who you are and what he made you. Where God anointing you for his service. Where God giving you faith. Your stock's going up all the time. You're writing, you're walking with him. You're learning his ways. Because you converted, you're helping and strengthening those around you. You become a valuable asset to the body of Christ. You have godly influence. And your godly influence causing many to walk closer. You getting me? In a fellowship, I'm just trying to do some natural things to show you how it was there. And what God is doing for us. How we should conceive this. What I'm really speaking of here tonight is the book of Acts. Follow after agape love and desire spiritual gifts. Follow after agape love and desire spiritual gifts. And a little subject I have. Covet earnestly the best gifts and know the more excellent way. That is the scripture. You know, both them things I'm saying there. That is the scripture. I'm showing you. If we are told that in the Bible, to covet the best gifts. If we are told, desire spiritual gifts. Nobody desire more wisdom. Nobody desire more faith. Nobody desire greater discernment of spirits. Nobody desire, you know, to prophesy. And those are dumbest prophesy again. You don't want the word to come It doesn't necessarily mean, and at 8 o'clock tomorrow on the job, you know, a man with a red hat, you know, is going to be knocked down by a crane or something like that. No, it doesn't necessarily be that. That ain't what prophecy confined to alone. I'll show you just some. It's for comfort. It's for edification. It's for exhortation. You think you can edify somebody without the inspiration of God? No, you can't. Those things require the energy of the Spirit. That's the difference between the letter and the Spirit quickened word. You can recite the letter to somebody. It's information. Like the man, the brother I tell the story about with the quote books and so on. I say, that real good, you know. I say, that is like the people in the factory making the bullets and making the guns and so on for the men who fight on the battlefront. You know? This is a good work you have here. I say, that is like the F-16. But these are all the parts. I say, you can't get that on flight. You have the 1,200 tapes and could quote every subject in the message. You know? You can quote about the third pull, you can quote about the seals, you can quote about the church ages, you can quote about Daniel 7, you can quote all these different things. That is just describing all the parts. But to get into that now and operate that is the next thing. That now, where it requires the Spirit. Now, this is where sometimes some people doesn't go deep enough to see that difference. And they just go along so for years. Just been in church and they talk about this and they talk about that and about it. And not wrong, not bad people. So that's why I'm preaching somebody to say, why do you just stay there? I'm saying, desire more. Because it is God who say his church will have this. And God is saying, desire this. Because desire that mean you're giving God a greater place to work in your life. Than just come to church and wear church clothes. And be a kind person, stick it in your pocket and get a man 20 or something, if you need a 20. But you don't put a little hand on that man and pray for that man? And see that man get healed from something? You desire to have some discernment of some spirit troubling that man. And you can discern that spirit and identify the nature and characteristic of that spirit that is deceiving this man, misleading him, and bring a deliverance in this man's life. You just want to tell him, go to the pastor, go to the deacon, go to one of the ministers. And then somebody will come and say, and Brother Abraham say, and Brother Abraham say, and Brother Abraham say. No, it's not that. Where's the Spirit? Where is the living God, the angel of God with the church? Where's the inspiration from God working through the members of the body? This is what I'm talking about. So I'm saying, look where people is. Put the line and stop. And they're doing that because they haven't taken time to pray over them things, to see exactly what is God saying there. And then anything God says about any gift, you can find it in the Bible, you know. In other words, what I mean, if God says wisdom, you start in Genesis, you know, find where all the different attributes of wisdom, how it is expressed in different people at different times. You can find discernment of spirit. You'll find that all the way through the Bible. Do it happen to different people. You can find healing. You'll find in the Old Testament and New Testament the same way. You can find faith. You'll find all into the Bible. Because Hebrews 11 give you all an example by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. You understand what I'm saying? So when you see it now, you may not have the whole spectrum of wisdom, but you may be given wisdom to operate in the place God called you. And you try to get wisdom now to tie the Bible together and you ain't called to preach. The man who called to preach, he wanted more than the layman. Because now he have to help edify the body in different places. He have to know what measure he would need. Otherwise, if he's like another layman, then what it is? You get what I'm saying? So this, these things is to stimulate your desire to desire what God desire to give the church in this hour. What should have already been in the church. And you have to, that means you have to check your desire and see if your desire is a painful desire, a thirst for the living God. Thirsting for the living God. In the day when the wild dogs is coming hard after you. You want to know your heart is fixed and your soul following hard after the Lord. You want to know where the water brook is to get the living water. You understand? Okay. Come with me now. Let's read a little more. I want to get down to part of my subject here. 1 Corinthians 12. I just want to read back one or two verses we read already, because every time for me I read over these scriptures, I'll be seeing more all the time. All kind of different illustrations will be coming from my mind, and then I'll be understanding the reading with different emphasis. So I realize it is something so deep that you really need to be spending time to meditate in these things, because this is written for the church. Remember, these are message churches. These things are written to in that first age. This wasn't the denomination, it was message churches. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Why is the messenger don't want the church to be ignorant? Why does he want to have knowledge of spiritual gifts? He said, concerning spiritual gifts. Now, remember, you have a church and you plant a church and you preach into a church. You, as the husbandman of the garden, you want to know how to cultivate your field. And you want to see your trees fruit bearing. Right? So when you look at this tree, he realized this tree needed some cultivation. That church. And he saw the ignorance in the church. In other words, they're all around the supernatural, and the supernatural all around them. But they don't know how to use it and what to use it for. And there was no understanding the things from a spiritual way of God's purpose of putting these things in the church. Because remember, when he ascended on high, he came back and gave gifts, office gifts, and these gifts. We went through the five, I guess we went through it, but we were speaking on the five office gifts and the nine spiritual gifts. These are things you can't finish in a service, or two services, or 10 services you can't finish in. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. So right away, we realize these are complex things. It isn't like a gift, have a gift. He said there's diversity, but the same Spirit. Now, the Spirit will give these things. Wednesday night, we're talking about the giver of every good and perfect gift. Right? Divine gifts and the giver. Many gifts and one giver, we were talking about. He said there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So God can use, because these gifts are not outside of people. These gifts is to be used through members in the body. Because that's the reason they put in the body by one Spirit, they baptize in the body. Because we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. All the blessings is in Christ Jesus. Every redemptive blessings is in Christ Jesus. Then by one Spirit they are baptized into Christ. It comes like Israel. A man, 12 tribes coming out of Egypt, but they come into Canaan. But in Canaan is everything. Former rain, latter rain, oil, corn, wine, everything in Canaan. They're going to have iron, they have trees, they have I land the milk and honey. Everything to make the nation prosperous, strong. Then God's going to place people in the land, dividing up the land and giving all the people a portion. Then he come in the church. Spiritually now, when they come out in the second exodus of the Judaism, and do the same spiritually. That Ephesians parallel Joshua. So that means that is important. Because if Moses just died and leave them in the wilderness, and didn't take them out of that, don't you have one part of redemption? If we come out the denomination until the prophet died and gone, and we say, we have nothing else, we only have one part of redemption. We come out. But it's out of and into. And when they went in, the captain come down because he knows each tribe on this headship have a portion in this land. That's why he bring them in this land. And he's giving them the portion. But if we're in the Ephesians, if we're in the new land, if we're in the new day, isn't people supposed to be getting portions? Did they do it in the first Exodus? Did they do it in the second Exodus? Then the third Exodus, they have to be the same. Then why is the people not looking for this? Why does they say, we in the Ephesians, you know a place, you know, we're in the land, we in the Holy Ghost, and you know a portion to say, you can strengthen this one, you can strengthen that one. You're being used here to give, be a witness to others. So these things is important. Remember, if we brought in the land, they had to cross over Jordan, possess the land, divide the land, and set the tribes in the respective places. That brought a completion to the work of sending the prophet. Isn't that so? So when you say, we believe Barabram. The purpose is to take them out of and bring them into. And in the end, the people was in the land of the fathers. Everyone, there was a unified people under the headship of the captain. And all of them had the respective places and the possessions. That even when they were stopping short, God says, there remaineth yet very much land. In other words, the deacon only have land to get. Trustees all have land to get. Ministers all have land to get. Singers all have land still to get. Musicians all have land to get. People who God give wisdom and prophecy and divinity. And he gives a healing. All you still have land to get. God was refusing to let them settle down in the land and then taking all that he gave them. Even though they had forgotten it, wasn't looking for it, just living normal, God come and say, Joshua, there is not yet much land. Start to show them people where the land is. All this I promise, and I see nobody want to go and take none of this. Now, as I say in that, now I see it, even for me, this is, I do not scriptural thing. I can have confidence that God telling me that. Because I see that was so in the coming Ephesians. And I can see Paul in the next Ephesians showing the church the same thing. And I can go to Ephesians parallel Joshua and showing Balaam showing the church the same thing there too. So it means when we look into our hearts now, it's something about ourselves. Am I contented with too little? Am I stopping short of the promise? Then you go into self-analysis. Why did I stop short? Am I not interested in all that God has for me? Is it because I haven't gone too far in Christ? I have many years in the church, many years in the message, but I haven't gone too far in Christ. Because I'm thinking like a child. Remember the prophet when he get to school and he was going back? Our God say, come back here. It's free. While he not interested in going for the full thing, God was ensuring what is spoken, that is what he had to go to. God refused to let him stop short and go back. When he remembered the promise and he didn't want to shoot the deer, God said, I still remember your promise, I remember mine. God was encouraged and blessed to see him remembering his promise and determined to keep his promise to God. Doesn't these things for our wave sheaf that we have had and watching his life in the way God dealt with him concerning him taking his position, him taking his place, him manifesting his full authority as a son, shouldn't that encourage us that Jesus Christ is the same? And if we stop it short, he'll do the same for us. And how the prophet was interested to take all and don't live below his God-given privileges. It should be the same for us. And there are diverse operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. See? The same God which worketh all in all. Diversity of gifts, differences of administration, diversity of operations. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Which worketh all in all. In other words, all these gifts in all of the body. It is in Christ. If you are in Christ, the reason God bring you into Christ is that what is in Christ can now come forth to your life. Because he's divine and he don't bear it for himself. He doesn't. The branches just bear it. It glorifies him to see his people is coming like him. And that he can have the preeminence of his people to do in his people what he did in the first son. Who is the first fruits of them that slept. Who is the firstborn from among the dead. Who is the captain of our salvation, leading many other sons into glory. Amen? Salute. So then he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, this is some amazing things. To another faith by the same Spirit. The same Spirit that anointed somebody with wisdom is giving somebody faith. He's giving somebody knowledge. Now he is giving what is needed for specific conditions. Because the same way the Father worked in Jesus and he had to go to Samaria, he had to go forth and heal the sick. Then he had to be dead. Then God take the Spirit and put it on a many-membered body. Just like God took the spirit of Moses and put on Joshua and put on 70 elders. Take the spirit of Elijah and put on Elisha. Take the spirit of the prophet and put on the bride. God does this. So you have more machinery, but same spirit. And God wants to do this through your life. That when you realize you get called, you start to understand a little bit of what you're called for. Because God make you part of the church. And this is how he works in the church. And the church is a many-membered body. Just like this physical body was designed. God knows when he's making man from the dust, this physical body, he's making fearfully and wonderfully for a particular sphere, a particular environment. Because God had done maybe it already, mountains and valleys and trees and lakes and rivers. And God had done make all of this already. So he's making a man now to walk up the mountain. He had to make him in a way he can walk up the mountain. He had to make a man to pick the tree, the fruit of the tree and eat. You had to make a man awake and get up on the tree. Because remember, it's not just for the fall alone, it's not before the fall alone, it's after the fall. So after the fall, when you got to speak nothing, you had to climb for it, you had to work for it. So God had to make him where he's able to do all this, to think, the approach. When the continents pull apart, how are we going to cross there? How are we going to get here? Okay, that trees. His knowledge of tree, they could make a boat. They could cross that land. So they went into sea travel. You understand? God make the man. Everything the man had there was there. When he's dealing with food, when you understand that all the food, there's a mystery behind the food. That all the different shapes and forms and colors and these things of the food. Melon gen shape one way and thing. Carrot shape the next way. Corn shape one way. This one shape the other. And when you find out the human body, all of that does relate to the different organs and different parts of the human body and these things. They don't understand now in these last days all that mystery to it. You understand? So that body was made where the eyes, it needed eyes, the five senses of the body, a main part of the body, see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. That a man without these five, he could still have hand could hold and do different things, but these five ones just help govern him in the sphere he is designed for. Well, that body we find out in the New Testament is really a shadow of the body of Christ. The reason God made it, because man, the head and the body, is a mystery of Christ and the church. And the head governs the body. So when we understand all the body joined by blood, every member of the body. So when we understand that God has this thought about the church, we realize the church had to be a deep thing. Because I don't think you'd have no one doctor understand the whole body yet. One man will be an eye specialist, and next man will be somebody the blood, and next man somebody the brain, and next man somebody else. It's so complex. I don't know the body world in this day. When that open up, and we can understand the church grow from the feet all the way up to the head in the last days, and that mystery being brought to us, then look at the kind of body is equipped. When we see the body of Christ and the revelation being brought forth in the first age, this is the body of Christ. Just like the natural body of seed, taste, hear, smell, and touch, this have faith and wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits and all these things, that this body will operate in a sphere to fulfill a commission, to minister, to display God, to operate. Even though Satan is coming there, deceiving, plain religious, that spirit, giving one discerning of spirits, giving the other one faith for something, giving the other one knowledge of healing, so to lead that person out, so that God can be glorified in his people, dividing up cheerfully as he will. Take the man. After I realize how to climb that tree, or how to climb that mountain, how to navigate to go up, which side, to analyze it, and know there's a better approach. There's a approach. The strong winds here, a man might fall off if he make the wrong calculation. If when he go up and he know the temperature there now, it get colder, and he have the clothing up there, he can't even hold that rocks to move around. God designed the body for whatever task that it would face and be confronted with in its life. And look what man has been able to do. Then when you look at the church now, where is that understanding in the church? You can imagine when we just settle to come to church. I come to church, I hear a message, I go home. I sing a song, I do something, I go home, I preach a message, I go home. And then call us looking for the rapture. So you see how sometimes If the thinking is not on a certain level, it just shows that we could be babies thinking as babies. A baby will just walk around creeping around the room, and the father saying, "Honey, do quick, make my lunch. I need to go. That bus moving at a certain hour here. I need to be on that bus. I need to get to. I was late a couple of days for the weekend already. This is a dangerous situation here. They tell my next one I can get a layoff. That plenty of people want this job." You think that baby crawling around there? He wants a little milk. You think he's mind on that? No, he's not thinking that. Look what the father thinking. Look what he is there. Look at the wife trying to hustle and saying, okay, honey. And she stick a comfort in the mouth or something. She said, no milk. Just stick up something here. Kind of pacify him a little bit because she realized though she had to get the husband out to work. And all of that on different levels going down. The little baby here in Ketchikan, the wife, more mature, catches the husband up here now. He has to know he's the one, the breadwinner. He's the one taking care of the home. He carrying the burden on the shoulder and different things. And they have to move together. So you can imagine how that home now is a type of the church. Pastor, congregation, and the people at different levels in the church. What kind of church ought we to be having a vision of what we call unto? And hearing the things that the Spirit bringing out here tonight. I'm just talking, I didn't have this in my mind. This coming up because I get anointed now. So while this coming up here, then we can realize, here now, we settling for far, far, far less. Hear what our word's saying. Hear what our word is showing. Look at the light in that picture. And we can see the reality of it. We like a man who can walk up a hill. We like a man that with the fruit up on the tree there, and we're hungry, and we're afraid to climb up because we don't know how to use the hand, we don't know how to use the foot, we have no wisdom to get a rod or something, how to get up there. And you don't want that energy in the flesh. Big stone, trying to lick it down. Next we hit somebody, child, in the next yard, we break up the body glass with you. You hear siren and say, like somebody on fire. Like the unit coming and lock up. They say, you stole them from the house. You are terrorists in the neighborhood or something. But when you see the man in his environment and can, from the fall, where man start off there in the first age, take a sheepskin, wrap it on himself. He ain't stopped there with that. They bring that to the fibers of that wool and make a nice wool suit, 3-piece wool suit. They take that clothing and you throw it, beat you on the rock in the river and throw it on a branch to bleach. Now they drop that in a washing machine to wash. And they drop that in a dryer to dry. And they have electric iron. No coal pot, no nothing there. All that thing. Nobody go down the hill to get running water. And a man pull a barrel. Boy, and he's struggling to bring it up the hill. No, they are plumbing. And they have a pump to push that up. Because man think they evolve. So to show God build man an environment, he can conquer the environment. In the natural realm, look what Satan can use a man to do. Think of spiritually, when the Spirit of God in a church and they carry the gospel and the commission, what do you think that is? You understand me? You can't do nothing if you can't think it. And that's why, with the word and the supernatural things of God, we have to get, you see, if you stay shallow here, the Spirit is not, you might feel like a feeling in the outer court. You might get goosebumps in the inner court. But you don't think God's presence yet, you know. When you go through that veil, that last one, and they get in there. You know, no goosebumps alone, you know. a dry dead rod could come back to life and suck a beer. That resurrection power, that transforming power there. So that's why I say, don't live your life out here. In the realm of sight, walking by sight. In the spirit realm, the second court, don't live your life there. Get deeper. Go beyond the veil. There the glories never fail. Everything remains fresh. You're in the presence. You're under the unction, the anointing in your life. Now, people does not think there. They just think church. Come through that door. Song service. Minister preaching. Musician playing. Closing prayer. Get back in the car and go home. And another church service went. But what we've seen here, what Paul is saying, how this works, is really something we need to look at close. I'm coming to the end here at this 12, verse 27. I won't have time. I watched the clock there. See, I passed time. But I want to hit a place here to bring it to what I am talking to you about. Follow after agape love and desire spiritual gifts. Just desire. You think a musician who has played music, three chord, tang, 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 you think he doesn't desire to learn more chords? You think he doesn't desire to start to go now? When he see a next man play with a certain skill and an atmosphere and see the impact on the people, you think he'll stay here and continue with plang, 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 plang? You know, he sees something, he wants to get there. He's like, it have all that? You mean this thing with six strings could do that? He realized he had 25 string there. He had the same six. But he's more skillful. You get what I'm saying? You know, a person sing a song, they go off the key about three times. Like me. Right? If I have to do that, I can't do that. If that people could do that. When they're singing the song, they don't know. I just sing this part here. I watch them and observe them. Then they go here. Sometimes they realize, I can't make it there. So they sing the verse again. And then now they position themselves. And you see they're coming up. They hit that high note. And they get up there. And you realize they do not skillful. Now you're hearing that now. You don't know that thought process going with that. There's a faith and a consciousness that they know I can do that. I'm not going to boost. I can control. They know right now I'm anointed. I'm feeling real good about this. And they're in control. And when they get happy, they dance a little bit there too while they're singing too. They're just like, okay, I don't want to make the noise. I don't want to burst. You know, and they're going. They're not singing so. So when you see that, you're seeing a different operation. You are watching how a person knows the measure of the gift. They know the measure. They know what they can hit. They know the range. They know what key they want to start in. You start me here because I have two climaxes here. You understand? And they know this. But you not hear any words in a song and say, I like the composition, but you not seen the execution. You not seen the anointing. You not seen the inspiration. How that inspiration is building to deliver that, I mean, they hear that climax, how people come out to the seat, you see tears, put people's eyes, their hand in the air, and then they, what do you think is doing that? The gift in operation. And that is why you want to learn, you want to advance. You don't just kind of sit down and say, now we have the word, I'm in a good church. Here it is. No. God is saying, you're in the age of the fullness. You're not in the age of the earnest. You're in the age of the fullness. And God said, I am of you. I promise full, pressed on, running over. But you ain't asking that your joys may be full. He said, you ain't receiving because you are asking. And the things you should spend praying for, because God knows they pray for this and pray for this and pray for this, but you ain't praying for that. Some people even get so backslidden, they say, my life is Pentecostal. We are the word. And I say, if you are the word, then you have wisdom to divide it. And the first, and the principles, and God, that one he gives. You have knowledge, you know your time and your season, you know your promises, you know your anointing. If you don't, then you have the word. What do you mean? You have the books and tapes? Is what you're believing? You understand? Because it's when the thing has been executed, then we know what you have. We know you need plenty still. If we see that kind of thing really getting off the ground, you know. Like, boop, you know that kind of old time plane? It go up here, boop, it jump back again. Boop, it jump back again. That's what we need. You want to run with that need before that can start to take off? Say, it had the right kind of fuel in it. It's a pitcher or something, you know. That ain't a jet fuel. So, I want you to see how these things are. Verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God had set some in the church. Now, remember, God setting in the church. Set me to place positionally. In God's church, God does set the members. He cut out like the stonemason when they built Solomon's temple. Every stone is previously marked by a design and is for a specific place in the building. And the stonemason are watching the pattern, and they take the stone and set the stone here, cemented in the place. Next stone for here, cemented in the place. He's setting it in the building where it can't move, it can't fall out, it can't shake. It's held here. It's cut to precision to the measurement. That they join together. This stone join with that stone, this stone join with that stone. Like the members of the body fitly join and compacted. That the glory can come down in that building. Now, it's the same God has done with the church. Because all these things in the old types, this. You are God's building. You are God's garden. See? God has set in the church first apostles. The New Testament church, the apostles is higher than a prophet. Now catch this. It have, but a Branham wasn't a New Testament prophet, you know. He was an Old Testament prophet called after the apostolic order and had more gifts than the old and in the new. If you remember standing the gap, when he was going off the field, God says, you are called, not just after the Old Testament prophet, you are called after the apostolic order. He said, I go in the woods, man, like Elijah and prophet and him, God will come out, come on, thus said the Lord, with my message, I go back, I stand back in. God said, who do you pray for? You call to pray for the sick. And you are given more gifts. You give a sign in the hand to detect germ diseases. You're given the second pole there, the Messiah sign, to discern by vision of things in the souls and spirit of men, that not in the body. But he can't hide nothing from God. Everything is before you. The whole book of everybody's life is open before you. All that is laying there. So then when he comes now, then God comes now, and if you be faithful there and be more sincere, it's going to come now to create. Then he had wisdom to open them seven seals. He had knowledge to know, to divide our world and show the one man part. At the end of the Pentecostal age, we are expecting a messenger who will do two things according to Malachi 4:5 and Revelation 10:7, and placing these things out and laying and saying what the church should be expecting at the end of the Pentecostal age in the plan of redemption. And he's bringing that out in the world. Then he had faith. He says, perfectly, tell you, give me the chandelier. He says, you think I can move that chandelier? She says, she ain't be that. He says, move to the right. Move. Move back to the left. And move. And he started to display that faith. And show. Not hypnotism. Not mental telepathy. And the message, faith is a substance. And he's showing to us what these things are. Now look where God carried him. Remember, this man was crying in the cave, asking God to take away the visions and these things. Great thoughts of the devil. The man didn't know the word. He didn't know the word on those things. When the angel comes and refer him the scriptures, His eyes had to open. He realized that I pray not miss. Because all of this is a design. You was born to pray for the sick. This is time for the healing revival. When we start 1906, it's speaking in tongues interpretation. Little prophecy. More than it was the interpretation of the tongues. By the time God making that next great move after the 40 years from 1906 to 1946, then he start healing revival. Gifts of healing. In a way, they have never seen that so in the history of man on the earth. You get what I'm saying? Then you have to know, Jesus' ministry was based on visions from the Father. He said, I do nothing except the Father will show me. Then the church was seeing thousands and thousands of healings. And then many men have been raised up now and been inspired. Because he started explaining how demonology in the physical realm, what it is, demonology really is. And how, and then demonology in the religious realm and demonology in the spiritual realm. Now, when God is doing this, this is God showing a church and teaching a church what he wants to bring in the church. Because that was fruit on the tree coming forth. That when he got to get away through the complex, God said, come back here. He said, you are called higher than them Old Testament prophets. Because he was a rugged man like Elijah. Preaching woodman terminology and all these kind of different things. A man up in the woods hunting and rugged up in the mountains and these things. He was their city man. So when we look and we see how God built that. And then come now and taking the spirit from there to put it on the bride. Like the spirit from Jesus had to come on the Alpha. And the spirit on the Son of Man had to come on the Omega. To finish the work. The work can't be done without the spirit. It is the spirit doing the work. It's God acting out the word through his people. Remember I read for you a couple Sundays ago. He that don't believe that Jesus is coming in the flesh. He said that's believing that Jesus Christ is coming and overcoming church here now in this hour. That was come. In his church in this hour. So look at the church. Get the idea. That's why Paul said, it's a glorious church. The glory of God is in the church. The glory of the latter house. The Holy Ghost coming to do the things. He must do the things in the body. Not just one man. What Jesus did was different to what they did. This was done in Jesus. That body went off the scene. Then that continued a many-membered body. What was done in Abraham? That body went off the scene. That is going to continue in many-membered body. And every church, if the message is being taught right, and people are believing the word, and knowing what is to follow, then they know what they should pray for. Because it has things, he said, pray for that. He said, don't pray to be a pastor. If you're falling for that, he will come to you. Them just commit commission. Them five. These nine. He'll work that in you. He'll work that in his body of believers. He says, always there. He says, he went so far as it among the Methodists and the Baptists and they do. He said, but they doesn't teach on it. That's why it can happen. He said, if you put seed in the ground and you cultivate it, it can't grow. So that is why it does make me go into those things, study those things, to know those things in my own life, and then try to speak some of those things. Because Paul is in here, he said, not all. He says, look, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We got each member different. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. See? Brother Abraham was a prophet like the Old Testament prophet, seers. New Testament prophet is not necessarily seers. Like walking in a realm of vision all the time. No. This puts you under inspiration. Because the apostle, first apostles. He said, I do not know whether you want to call it a missionary for. The word apostle means one sent. Anybody God call, anoint, and sent. if he's sending them. Not maybe he could send somebody to do for evangelists. He sends somebody to do other things. If he's sending them in a specific office, then apostle means one sent. Teacher is one who teaches. He breaks down the word. He's not necessarily he could be anointed to teach, but not necessarily teaching by inspiration. I don't know if I'm making sense of that. Yeah, let me explain that. You have to understand it. A man could be anointed to preach. He studies his things, and he stands up, and he has his notes, and he's going to come, and he's going to teach that, and go from one scripture to the next, and to the next, and you have an illustration, you put that down there, and you have all that written down, and you know that. So he's not going to teach by inspiration. He's anointed. He goes, he prepares a lesson. But a gift, really, this gift is, he said, a gift is to get out of the way. Then the Spirit comes in. When the Spirit comes in, the man is speaking things, not even he know or even saying. So then that Spirit leaves that word and go show. And go down there, and people sitting down there know, oh my God. I need somebody tell him what I was doing. That word will go down there and describe conditions sometimes, and goes, and you know that is coming fresh. You know, you're coming on the inspiration, quick and sharp. And not just yet, all in the islands, everywhere. That is inspiration. Anointed, we all anointed. I'm not going to be anointed for his work. See, I'm not going to be anointed for his work. When the inspiration comes down and strikes the man, like Job. Sit down there. When the Spirit comes, he rises and prophesy. I know my Redeemer living in the last days. And then you see what you were saying before and see what you said after. And that little piece inside there becomes inspired prophecy. Like Isaiah speaking, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, buying the book, and I said, the capital of different things. And he goes on, before he talks on history, he has the king in Judah, and talking about Judah and what happened in present tense in Judah. When Jesus comes 700 years after, he pick up not all the backbone he has and thing. He pick up that little piece here. The Spirit of the Lord upon me. Because that was inspired prophecy. He stopped in the middle age and leave that part. Next part for the last age. You think Isaiah only saying that? Isaiah said, we're going to have some churches here. I'm going to say it. He don't really, he just speaking. But the Spirit slipping there and spoke those things. Inspiration. Yet he's an anointed prophet. You get what I'm saying now? Inspiration means direct access to God right there. And the Spirit moves and speaks. That's an unction or utterance given there. When directly for something. That's why we want to walk in a place where we understand how to get out of the way. Unless you don't get out of the way, God can't do get in you. No, you have a measure of God in you. Like to live clean, live right, live a Christian life, so on. We don't want service now. For service. Leave here and go over here. Join yourself to this charity. The man, Isaiah 53, who's speaking up over this? He said, I ain't studied that yet, you know. If I didn't know, how the angel sent me here? And he said, the angel that really mix up things sometimes. If you didn't know any man was being, I'd have studied that last night. Should I come up prepared for the man? No, the angel with him anointed him right there. And he preached Christ from there. You get what I'm saying? Because why? For example, I talked to the man, just like Jesus, who do very well, and he contact things that are break, the access that are come. For that man, because he locked into the man, he sent to that man. And he selected out of all of them in the body and sent to this man. And before he said, call for Peter and John, let me take over here. You move. God, the head, working with the members of the body. We have to get, if we get organized, service here, this here, that here, and we don't get spirit led. And we try to do everything through organization. And we have time to study this and study this and do this. No, and then God can move spontaneous. As he loves to do. So it don't be man. So man don't be in the way. But man, you give man faith to believe him. You give man the grace how to yield and come out of the way so he can come in. This is what God is doing. And when God is doing that to that soul, that person right there know, you speaking directly straight into my heart. Sometimes it, within 2 minutes, you are already in that person's life already. Are all works of miracles, verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Paul is asking, are all apostles? No. We know the answer. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. It's a rhetoric question. They know the answer. He said, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. You ever feel the covet one? To see what you have need of? You ever look at the body and see what the body hurting and what the body might need? And that you can be a place in your life? You can ask God. Lord, I see, like your sister playing the music, I don't refer to that. Look across and see sick ones. And then something move in her. And out of there, a song started to come. All it took was that focus. All it took at that moment is the eyes set. And the spirit in doing that, anoint. And then this song maybe ain't come right there. But all that was preparation to bring the song. U.S. is history. Show the human being. Look at that song we are singing there, I can still remember as is yesterday when I wrote that song. Because the words there is as I was with Moses. 1982 was the year when we went in there and this day will I begin to magnify and decide with people, confession, cleansing, commission, Ephesians, parallel, Joshua, all them things with the glory of God coming to the service there in Ghana. Over 250 people or more saw it. Brother Samuels and Brother McClellan and them come back here, testify of those things that happened there. Fenton, wife, sister, our sister, she was there in that meeting. She went and tell him he was supposed to go live until. We all know the story of these things. And in there, when that was coming to me, is out as I was in Musa and Paradox 61. Paradox 61 is walking 2/3 of the journey. He's coming to Jordan. As I was with Moses, he's expressing, he said, I'm tramping this mountain. He said, I want something deeper than healing revival. I'm going down. See? And out of that vision, knowing we are making that same journey from Egypt to Canaan. Every individual, every church makes that journey. So, look at God can bring an inspiration. It's like when you went in Tucson 1981, come down from Dove Cove. Next day, God in simplicity, come down right in the airport. Come home and wrote right after Dove leading eagle. Why? Come down from the place. Second time, come back from 1979, showers of erosion for the 1980, start straight, God is light. Who is the man who walk out the ball of fire? Showing how God given inspiration to a people, but without going deep in the word, it's just like maybe it's mental. Maybe you try to put some words together and say something. No. It's in the journey. It's going there. Just one more scripture and I'm finishing. He said, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. That closes 1 Corinthians 12, where he start off with the different gifts and end up by telling you what there is, how they work in the body, how the natural body, the type of the spiritual body, and he ends up telling us now, covet the best ones. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And he goes in to teach that church, if you have the gifts and don't have love, they can't work properly. You must have love. And I have five verses here. 1 Corinthians 14. Follow, after he's finished, he ended up in charity. If you have, he said, if you have knowledge, it'll pass away. You have tongues, it will cease. But charity never fails. So he tells him, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Charity is agape love. So that is why I use their saying, follow after agape love and desire spiritual gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts and know the more excellent way. If you want to see things work in your life, he said, I show you a more excellent way. Don't just want to have, in other words, you tell them, all you have the gifts among us, but all you have no love. All you full of division and envy and strife and jealousy. So all you go in one place. Then, he is here showing now, follow after charity, follow after agape love, and desire spiritual gifts. Get love in your heart for the church. Then you will start to get into the feeling of the people. Then you start to get sensitive to the need. Then you start to see, if I had more wisdom, I could have helped that one. If I had more faith, that prayer would have been answered there. And that one wouldn't have to die. If I had the... You see, sometimes we'll say, the person's sick. Sometimes you ain't judging yourself if you had the faith. You know what I'm saying? If I had the feeling for the person, I'd stand the gap and get the 3 loaves, my friend. Remember standing the gap? Friend, give me 3 loaves. I have a man here dying in the house. He said, no, I refuse, I ain't going. Come down and give me 3 loaves. And Jesus said, because of his persistence, he will come and give to him. Because shameless persistence, he refused to take no. Because sometimes we're dear, but God is watching to see, you love this man? How much you love him? How much you let go? Just ask, are you ending the man feeling, the man infirmity? You know? And this is why we have to be close. So when you ain't close, you're not feeling for nobody else, you know? In diplomacy, hey, how you doing? Okay, brother, yeah, God bless you, brother. Yeah, God bless you, yeah, God bless you. And like that. But when there's something close, and then you start to know the value of one another, like Peter and them, they knew them people in that church knew the value of Dorcas. They said, we are bearing shame, you know. They know the value of Peter. They said, no, Herod didn't go and kill him. They get before God. The angel come down. They hear Peter in the next city, they send for him. They said, I'll show the clothes, they said, I'll show the churn clothes, show the, all the things you make to help them, a seamstress. Why? There was one, in one man I want to call. If it comes, so God can't send it where you have the feeling. God can't send it where the people not in one man I want to call. Where God can't send it if they identify with one another. Because Jesus was identified with us. Jesus came and stood in the gap. Jesus sweat drops of blood in Gethsemane. Jesus was willing to pay the price no matter what it cost him for us. Jesus endured the cross and looked at the joy that was set. Yeah, I know that we are going, he by paying that price, will meet that requirement like Elijah when he come in the bullock for the people in Israel to turn them back to God. But that was that type of Christ right there again. Moses, when he threw himself in the gap, that was that type of Christ right there again, showing that when the Spirit is in us, the Spirit of Christ is in us. We relate to one another and we relate to the things as Christ would. So it's not you. That's what I'm saying. That was the Spirit of Christ there. Showing that Moses' identification with the people was not a shallow thing. When he forsook Egypt and the treasures and all them different things and stepped down from the throne and all that, what was right there before him, and take the way with the Lord despised few. It showed when they reached in the wilderness and God was going to kill them people now. And said, I'll give you a bigger nation. Don't bother with them. He was so much identified with them people, and he so understood God, the ways of God. He said, what will the nation say? You bring them out. He said, he thinking about, he getting bigger church. He thinking of God's name and God's reputation among the nations, because he was a representative of God. He was an attribute of God. Now, this is the life. Could you see a place to go a little closer? A place to come a little higher? A place to walk and go a little deeper? All that means is that you making room for Christ to come in your life. You making yourself available to see the needs of the church. Really and truly. Somebody who have a love could change a lot of things here. Somebody who have a little patience with some people could help get them to walk a little closer. If a person has to go two times to the person, like have an attitude. You say, man, the Bible says, two admonition, send them to the devil. But how will Peter do when Peter tells Jesus? He said, how many times have we given him? Seven times already, man? Jesus said, 70 times seven. He was quoting what the word say. See? Jesus said, 70 times seven. Because grace had come. You know, it's magnified now. God, when the people say, who's my neighbor? He said, who's your neighbor? I tell the parable of the Good Samaritan, a man they will never call their neighbor. And he teach and show that is the man who understood who his neighbor was. And all the Levite and priests never understood who all the neighbor is. And the man you have condemned as a renegade, that man understand who his neighbor is. The man come off a beast. The man take out his own money. The man take his own clothing and tear it up and bandage this man. Take the oil and wine. Put the man on the beast. A man who just scorn him and look, you know, can't see him as, a dog. He can come in the economy of God. That man was doing this when these other people see their own countryman right there and bypassing them. And Jesus teach that to show their view was so narrow. That because this man had a broader view, this man get restored. This man was saved from death. That's what it takes sometimes. That's what it takes. What a place tonight. What a place tonight we could enter even closer. Now catch this. Follow after charity and disaster. But rather that you may prophesy. That go back to despise not prophesying. Watch how in that church they were despising prophesying. Watch the messenger with the vision and the revelation trying to correct the people's attitude and concept. Watch how people in the message under the seventh seal, the Lord himself, the Son of God, shout. They're not interested in the things. Satan has subtly sidetracked them from what God wanted to do in his church. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. What is it he says here? He's showing you, if you love the church and you want to help the church, you'll covet the best ones that will help the church. He said, this one is speaking in an unknown tongue. He's speaking to God. Nobody understands him. He's part of the church. So even though you speak in an unknown tongue and you speak to God in an unknown tongue, from your heart, it's the same. God can inspire to speak without our unknown tongue. You have God understand everything, but the people don't understand you. So he says, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he's speaking to God, not to men. But he that prophesied, see, that is he that speaketh in our unknown tongue. He contrasting him from he that prophesied. That's why he said, I'd rather you prophesy. He that prophesied, speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. The spirit of prophecy, speaking to him, exhorting, edifying, and comforting. Not necessarily explaining Daniel, explaining the thunders. That would be in a fivefold ministry, where they have wisdom. Like you tell Timothy, study the shows of a woman who rightly dividing the word of truth. See? But here, in the members of the body, that same spirit of prophecy can come and speak and give comfort. Because it's speaking by inspiration. It's speaking to edify, to build up and strengthen. See? To edification. It's, why? Because the people is understanding. You get what I'm saying? He said, if you speak in tongues, but you're understanding, but you prophesy, then you speak in comfort and edification. He had spoken in unknown tongue, edified himself. But he had prophesied, edified the church. He's showing you which is greater. He said, covet the best. In other words, if your heart is for the church and you love the church and you realize the church have little edification in certain places or you have more edification than others, then you want to use your gift to edify and bring them up to the place where they need to be this hour so the spirit can flow more evenly and do greater things to help the body. Help us in the body here and help others who is part of the mystical body too. Look how much teaching is having these things, and it is for the church, not the organization, Sadducees and Pharisees. This is being taught by the prophet messenger in the present truth. The church that is called out, giving them a concept of how the church is a mystery, how she's called, how she's going to grow up a living temple, a habitation for the spirit, grow up in the Christ who is the head, and speak the truth and love and these things, how the body will fitly join, compacted, how God did every man a measure, and how it will become a glorious children of spot without wrinkle, is what he's teaching. Then he carried that into the husband and wife, a mystery between Christ and the church, the head and the body. So, when we come into church and don't understand how God sees us, what he designed us to be, and we're not relating to each other in this understanding, and when we come to church, we're not trying to function in our places. And we, though the Spirit wants to come in, we quenching the Spirit by not seeking and desiring what the Spirit wants to do in this, because the Spirit already says, If wisdom can come into you, is that the principal thing? If knowledge, God give one knowledge, and God give one prophecy, and God give one this, what kind of edification could be in that group? They ain't just doing it on their own. When the Spirit wants to do it, you have people accessible to him, who understands the body, who lives as part of the family, and seeing weakness in the family and desiring that those places get healing, riff in the church. This family and that family, they ain't talking to this family, and this problem going here and this here, and hindering the church. And then that going on there, and then somebody says, oh God, why, we shouldn't be like this. Look at them in the time, and Nehemiah and them, how they come together, how they fortify the city. When the enemy is trying to break them up and separate them, so that the house can be rebuilt and be filled with glory. And God is giving prophecy, I'll fill this house with glory, finish the work, build the work. And then how they start to build and fight, how all the women, the men, the children, everybody get in, and they fortify that place. Look at the prayer, how the prayer come when Nehemiah saw they come out of Babylon so long at the end of the seventh decade and nothing. All the gates still broken down, the thing on fire. It afflicted him. You think it doesn't afflict a man of God who see the people come to the message and the prophet gone 50 years and seen where the church is that's supposed to be a super race? But we have to get there. Unless we don't get immersed and get in these places. We treat everything normal. We treat everything normal. This one busy about what they're doing, that one busy about what they're doing. We come to our prayer meeting, and then Everybody got on their knees. After all, you play a very quiet here thing. When you're hearing, the first noise you're hearing, there's a... You know, then after you see that kind of thing there, and, you know, you're looking to see people who are sensitive to the need. As you probably say, if Johnny packing the water, Harry pack the water, because the family is the house. You say, well, I'm supposed to do that. He's supposed to do that. Let the pastor see about that. Let this one see about that. Let that one see about this. And that things you can do. And by your, remember, Rispa? When Rispa shoo off all them buzzards and them wild beasts and keep that thing until the rain fall, David was so afflicted, he went and dig up Saul's bones and gave Saul a good burial. They had Saul's bones there all that time, nobody paid no attention to it. Man, he, you know, look for that and, you know, he was fighting with all the time, man. David was so afflicted, he went and dig up this and gave the man a burial. So that one person action in the church, God can take that and speak so loud to many others. You know why? You come in and your presence being felt. You're not just an artificial member. You're not just a cosmetic member. You part of the assembly. You love the assembly. People know you're a person there. You always have something positive to say. Something to uplift somebody. Always willing to go the extra mile for somebody. And your good works are known. It's a sweet smelling savor among the believers. Your attitude, the way you relate to everybody. You have a word of encouragement to give somebody. You're never negative. You're never, you're never aware of concern. This is what we desire to have. That will probably get more clannish as the day draws closer. You're going to find out the only place you'll find true love is among the bride. When iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And this is where it's come to in this hour that we can see, follow after charity. Follow after agape love and desire spiritual gifts. Don't desire because you want to jump on some church. No. Desire, you can make yourself accessible. That these things that God name here will meet all the needs among the people. And God wants to work from one member to the next, the body being fitly joined. And when a certain need is there, and God send that spirit among this brother and this brother, they go there. God direct them to a need there. God direct, come on this sister and that one, and direct them to a need there. And the spirit now in the church meeting the needs, because these gifts will meet every need in the body. God who designed the physical body and put it to operate in a certain sphere, in a certain environment, to be able, to be capable of doing things and for its advancement, its own advancement, is the same way God designed the church. And put what is in the church for the advancement of the church in this hour. You understand? So these are things, you know, you don't fight up yourself, just get a deeper desire, a more concern, to realize I am just here to sit on a bench and occupy a space. I am elected and foreordained to be part of the body. This doesn't end here. This continues on in the faith civilization. But earth is the testing ground where redemption is being revealed. And we are kinsmen to one another. And the great kinsman himself, Christ Jesus, works through us, the members of the body, for one another. And this brings the family closer together when they see each one, care for each one, in support of each one. That was, and they were in one mind and one accord and had all things in common. Now, tonight, many of us not feeling so. Many of us have things and reasons and why and different things. But the thing is, we just see all these things because of the measure of growth and the measure of spirit we have. When you get a higher measure, you start to do that now unto the Lord for the Lord glory and his name being glorified in you. And like I show you, if that persecution is coming, where is that church? Where is that gifted church equipped to operate in these things? Where is that church? The church is here. But how much of the seeds is cultivated? How operative? The wiring there for the lights, which might need connection. The plumbing might be put in the house, but it needs connection. It may have bills to pay to get reconnection. You understand? So the thing is, as a body, the house supposed to have light, supposed to have water, supposed to have food, supposed to have joy, supposed to have rejoice forevermore. Quench not the spirit. Then to quench the spirit means to extinguish the fire. You want to be an arsonist in this case. Amen. Not a fireman out in fire. With your big hose and trying to wash down everything and out on the fire. You want to be an arsonist. Throwing more things on the fire to get the fire more blazing. He said, don't quench the spirit. Sometimes criticism, suspicion, skepticism about spiritual things and the operation of the spirit. Sometimes somebody testifies from that is truth for the glory of God. But you will feel like so. And when they ask you, why are you in feel like so? Is that promise? Is that the word? Could God use anybody? Could God do this for anybody? Then you realize why you then can't believe it and why you can't rejoice in it. What have you skeptical? That is only showing you skeptical. You have a skeptical spirit. And you now extinguishing. You quenching the very spirit. Suddenly the spirit coming to you to do something, but you feel like you behave a little funny. And you don't want to express that because you're more self-conscious and people-conscious than God-conscious. See? And it's like, I just do that when nobody around. And the thing is, you in the house of the Lord, enter his court with praise and gives with thanksgiving. See? And so when you look, you realize many, many things sometimes. Attitudes is be there, and that's the bottom, the right attitude of approach to a gift is what is bring the results. You see, if you don't have the right attitude of approach to the gift, and then somebody say, like the woman, I feel like the spirit is coming to pray for the child. Can I pray for the child? First woman get in trouble, she quenching the spirit, eh? And keep coming, the spirit pushing. She say, honey. And only the family one say, of course, honey. Pray for the child. The woman look at me like, she's like, there's a God woman here. But she's going to sit on my back. Like, I know the woman. You want to know me. Maybe she might react. Maybe she might, but I'm not going to pray for the child. But why get this financial? Pray for the child. And she's stepping there. Pray for the child. They carry the child up. But I'm saying, this child is sick. This child was healed just a while ago. Look over there. He said, that little girl, pray for this child. And confirm it. See? He said, that's when the child was healed. So watch and see how that is what we're talking about. That illustration just come to me. There. And then the illustration, that example come to me. To show you how the spirit. And then Baram said, you see, she's a mother. She would have more feeling for that child than me. So he knows now, is that feeling of the mother stepping there like your own child? And it bring the healing that God could have pronounced the blessing. And that's where let's take that in these things. Let's just walk a little closer in this hour. Let's just open up ourselves more to the Spirit. Let us look into our life and take aside the little ways we pick up in the world and growing up in certain families and growing up in certain family traits and all the different things that paralyze us. When we're in the family of God, this is a greater family because this you're coming to the family by the new birth. You're coming to the family, natural family, by the sin birth, the sex birth. But you're coming to this family by the new birth. And that's why in this family of God, we should have that feeling in the church for one another. And care for one another. That God could bless us as a people. And I mean God has done many great things with us as a people in as limited as it is, and what he is limited to our condition, and he can do. But when the word will come like this to us, and God can make it clear and break it down so simple and bring it down to such a minute individual place, then God now is saying, I want to go a little further. I want to go a little greater. I want to bless you all. I want to fill some of you with the Spirit. I want to work my life in and through you to my glory. And it is not by your ability. It is by his ability and your availability. As you could make yourself available to him, that he could do this. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just. Let's just sing a bit. Jesus, name above all names, Emmanuel. I just believe that we have to make a step a little closer. Almighty God, sit in your presence tonight and under the influence of your Holy Spirit, your word coming forth, dear God, as a mirror, the perfect law of liberty that we can look into and see things in our lives that maybe we had noticed but didn't pay much attention to and didn't look long enough to see how much it affects us, paralyzes us, keeps us in barrenness and unfruitfulness. But dear God, being sensitive, as the Holy Spirit would impress upon our hearts and minds, quickening your word to us and causing us to really see your heart and what you intend for us, causing us to look at it from the standpoint that you are seeing it from. We realize, Lord, you have reached out your hand to us to draw us into a closer walk, a deeper experience, to bring us into a more spirit-filled life. Lord, where your Spirit can so indwell us, we can be so quickened and raised up. Where you can come into the control tower and control our lives to your word. The things we see, the things we speak, the things we hear, the places we walk, naturally and spiritually. In every way, dear God, your tender hand can lead us and direct us. We can walk in close harmony with you. We can walk, dear God, like Enoch walked with you in that hour before the translation. I pray for my sister tonight, even for those, Lord, who might be in a similar situation, desiring in their lives. And Lord God, even now, they can tune in their hearts and minds and get under this, the influence of this prayer, as a people, as a body, linked together, joined by blood, your blood, and you, their head, who have come down in our midst tonight. Lord, that your thoughts coming down into our hearts to illuminate our understanding. That your word can be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our pathway. That we can walk conscious, Lord. We can walk in a plain path under your divine leadership. That you can lead us into all of your will concerning us. Something that could bring us into a deeper fellowship with you. Something that could cause us to look deeper in our lives and see and understand the places where we need to be strengthened. The places where we are deficient. The places, dear God, where the enemy prevails against us. That we can become more fortified, more rooted and grounded, better established. May tonight, dear God, your Holy Spirit, you who desire to come down into our lives in a deeper way, not just to fill us, but to work in and through us, not just to seal us and keep us from the unbelief and give us immunity against sin and darkness, but to make us channels for service, where, dear God, we can become instruments in your hand to the fulfilling of your word in this hour. May you grant it, dear God. Touch our sister and every individual that is standing there desiring the same things. Desiring, oh God, a more spirit-filled life. And we can conceptualize these things, Lord, and see as your word would open and shine light and realize this is what you want for your church. You, the great husbandman of the garden. You are cultivating our lives, preparing our hearts that the word can spring up and become more fruitful. And in this, you can be glorified. People can look at us and take note that we have been with you. That we can say, like you prayed, Father, I've manifested thy name. I've declared thy name. Father, glorify thy name. Not just pronouncing the name, Lord. Chosen vessels, bearing your name, your life, your signs, your living presence. Knowing we are tabernacle and deity. May your Holy Spirit endow our sister with a greater measure of your grace tonight. That which can lift her up on higher ground. The songwriter said, Lord, plant my feet on a higher ground. And Lord God, as we go a little higher, we can see a little clearer. We can look and see through your eyes. And we can know how to yield and what to yield to. Where to focus our faith, where to concentrate. Then we can walk in your will and walk with a confidence, knowing that this is what you have for us at this time. May you grant it, Father. May you give, even as we have looked in the scripture tonight and spoken these words. May you follow this in the lives of your children, I pray. And may this move in the assembly from heart to heart. Too long we have had so much unproductive things, so much things moving from one to the other. But may your spirit now move. And the revelation of your will move. And what you desire to do in and through us move from one to the other, Lord. Spreading, oh God. May we not quench, but Lord God, may we let you have the liberty that you desire in us, dear God. We will not restrict or paralyze the moving of your spirit. Your spirit can move in us and flow to us, Holy Spirit. Grant it, dear God. Give to each one tonight in the measure that they have need of. That they can see change be wrought. That they can rise up, Lord, with a new enthusiasm, with a quickened faith. Take these words and make it spirit and life into the heart of all that stand here believing tonight. Would you do it, Father? We pray, oh God, seeing what the Spirit spoke to the Apostle Paul and spoke to your prophet in this last day, who looked at Paul and who is restoring the church back to what it was, and here it is left with us to walk in the light of these divinely revealed mystery truths. Truths that bring us into a closer relationship with you, a greater knowledge of your Spirit, Lord, as you promised that we will have a knowledge of your word and the understanding of your Spirit. That the Spirit can work through the word in us, and we can carry out the will of God, that we can truly be a light, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. A branch that has come from the root and bearing the fruit. Much fruit. Granted, dear God, I pray. I bless this my sister and all these that are believing to receive, that see themselves, Lord, in a like situation, desiring, dear God, to walk closer and to see us receive a more spirit-filled life, and the working and the operation of the Spirit working in and through them for the edification of the body, for the establishment of the body, to bring glory and honor to your name, to magnify Jesus Christ. This is what you put these things in the church for, and this is what we pray would be fulfilled, Father, amongst us. In Jesus' precious name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. Name above all, wonderful Savior. And that's more than Saint Jesus. That's His Holy Spirit working, having preeminence in us, manifesting the name, glorifying the name in our lives. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, living word. Oh, sing it again, lift up our hands and worship Him as we sing it. Sing it and draw His Holy Spirit near to you as you draw near to Him in your heart while you worship Him. The God of peace, Paul says, sanctify you wholly and keep you blameless. Body, spirit, and soul unto the parousia of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Emmanuel, Emmanuel, His name is called Emmanuel. Oh, worship the Lord in spirit. Hallelujah. Release the Spirit. Release it in the building here tonight. Release it among one another. Don't quench it. Name. presence, that's where I'm strong. Oh my, what a great thing tonight that God can pour virtue, strength, power into those who have faith. Hallelujah. Strengthen that faith. That faith will be a mighty conquering faith, an overcoming faith. Personal presence is here. It's parousia. We in that time. He's coming to see. There's a man here that can turn on the light. Greater than Solomon is here. The angel of God, the Holy Spirit. My God, in your presence. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, oh God, I want to go. Cannot overflow me. Where my feet? Oh, on the rock of that revelation, I want to hide. He's your refuge. He's your hiding place. Blazing fire cannot burn me. In your presence, in the cleft of the rock. Covered by the blood. Oh, and I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me. Oh, you inoculated. You have the immunity. A new church in this hour.
the cleft of the rock.
In the cleft of the rock. In your presence. Oh, with such flood of evil, I want to hide. Amen. May God move his church into that place. Many have been destroyed. Many have been drowned in that flood of evil. That strong current carrying them down the cataracts. Where the schemes of darkness. Oh, children. Be careful. Watch those things. May God give you grace and strength and power. Ask him for it. As you sing and you worship him. As you recognize.
Samuel Johnson to come and pray. Amen. May God lead him and direct him in his prayer as we see where we need to be, where we want to come a little higher, where we want to move right up into this presence, what we can receive tonight if our hearts are open, and the things that God shows us, the attitude, the state of mind, that God will come in into our lives now in a greater way, because the flood of evil, friends, the tide is riding rapidly.
Give thanks tonight. Oh God, we hear your voice. As the voice that called John to come up higher. Come up, Lord God, a place where you can walk with us, Father. Where you can minister this grace, Lord. Where you can open this word, God, open our understanding. That you can understand the time and the season and the hour and what you desire for us. And truly, as we sit in our seats, God, and we hear your voice speak so expressly to our hearts, God, it causes us to take inventory, Father. Look into our lives, dear God. Look into your promises, Father. Look into the things, oh God, that is before us. The battles, Lord God. The places, God, that you has already accomplished in our lives. But yet there's still much land to be possessed. And we recognize our weaknesses. We recognize the weak places where we can be a better Christian, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
And we see the things that the enemy is doing to keep us away from the things that is freely given to us. But you're determined to bring us into it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You're determined to bring us, Lord God, into that place that we ordained to stand, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
And you stand with your servant tonight, God. Laboring, God. Bring an understanding, God. In many scriptures, God, looking at our thoughts and our attitudes, Father, to the things that you allow in your great wisdom to come to pass in our life, God. Things that we overlook, Father. Things that we take lightly, God. Things that the enemy used to keep us in the way that we don't come to the place that we ordained to come. But we hear the voice of God and the grace of God and the God of peace that has come down in the midst of us tonight. That headstone, Father. That intelligence, dear God. only because of your love for us, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
Only because of what you promised us, God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, this grace that is so amazing, Father. Yes, this unmerited favors, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, that make us feel so little tonight, yes. God. We want to ask you to forgive us for all of our faults and mistakes and shortcomings, God. Our slothfulness, our weakness, Lord. Not able to look into these things in the way we ought to look into it, Father. Would you help us, Father? Would you give us the strength that is necessary to overcome the enemy at every one of his tricks, God? These little things, these 2 million supernatural devils that is loose in the ecclesiastical realm that keep us away. Oh, how your prophet cry, Father.
Oh,
we speak to us, Lord, so much time. Stay in line.
Jesus.
But as the days approach, Father, we recognize, God, what your servant would say, Father. How we allow our wife, our children, our jobs, our cars, our money to keep us away from this great unfolding, this great happening of the supernatural. The spiritual realm, God. You tell us to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Oh, God. Quench not the spirit, Lord. You're speaking to us. Oh, God, tonight. We take these things with a grateful heart tonight. Because we know it's you, Father. Because it so lines up with our condition, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
It's because you care for us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We want to be more humble, God.
Yes, Lord.
More simple, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
More quiet, Father.
Yes, yes.
You tell us in quietness and confidence shall be our strength, Father.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Be still and know that you are God. You could perform what you promised.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, God, didn't your scripture say that?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father Abraham, yes. Said that you was able to perform that which you promised.
Yes, Lord.
For there shall be a performance of
Hallelujah.
These things which is spoken to us
yes,
by
Lord.
The angel of God. We believe it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We determined to not, tonight not to be hindered anymore. We determined to press, Lord. We determined to take back what the enemy take from us, Father. We are the church of the living God. We are the continuation of the book of Acts. We are that people that you say that can just stand fast in the liberty whereby which you have set us free, having not been entangled again. We are that people, Father. That little group of the true seed, Father. That 7,000 that didn't bow down, Father. Who has reserved, God. We are that people, Father. We are not giving up, Lord. We are not recanting, Father. We are not going back, Lord. Oh, we are who we are by the grace of God. Oh, we love you tonight, Father. For your word, for your promise, for the anointing, for the strength that you put in us, God.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Joy of the Lord is our
Lord.
Strength, Father.
Hallelujah.
We give thanks tonight.
Thank
we will
Jesus.
Rejoice, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We will not quench the spirit
Thank
anymore.
You,
we will praise. Ooh. We will worship. We will
Bless
give thanks,
you,
Father.
Salvation.
Oh, God, when we come, let the thanksgiving be
Thank
in our
you,
hearts,
Lord. Thank
we determine
Jesus.
To yield and yield
Thank
and
you,
yield
Lord.
Ourselves to your great
yes,
Holy
Lord.
Ghost. But you'll have your way, Father.
Oh
God, and strengthen your servant, Lord.
Jesus.
Anoint him, God. Lift him higher and higher, Father. Oh God,
as
the watchman in the tower.
Yes, Lord.
As he could see beyond, Lord.
Yes,
as he could help us, Father.
Oh,
he's the one ordained to take us through, God. And we believe in whom
Jesus.
Thou hast sent to us, God.
God.
That's our faith, God.
Jesus.
Not now. Not yesterday, many years ago, when you established this word,
yes,
when you put that word in our hearts, when you taught us this word the right way, God,
yes,
in the right channel, in
yes,
the right
Jesus.
Frequency, God, in the unchanging continuity of the
God.
Word of promise.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
What can we more see, Father?
God.
What can we more pray, God?
Pray
what can we more
Amen.
Ask of God? A one who would stand in the gap, Lord God.
Yes, Father.
One who could show the way, God.
Yes, Lord.
One who could lead by example of fire. Yes. Where we could put our foot in the footprints that was left for us to follow. Yes, we know we're on the right road, God. Yes, and we thank you tonight. Will you take us safely home? Will we not forget the things that we hear tonight? And we heard over the years, God, that has brought us up these 7 steps, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Heal the sick among us, God.
Lord.
Oh, God, remember Sister Petione tonight.
Yes, Jesus.
Struggling and battling that sickness, God. But we're determined to stand, Father. Even speaking to her yesterday, God. Standing in there, God. Believing what you promised, God. Will you tell us by your stripes? She's already healed, God. And how many is the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver them all from it, God.
Yes, you do.
Would you touch her tonight, God?
You are faithful, oh God.
Will you turn these demons away, Father? And may this light shine in the dark place, God. And
may
the illumination of your promises become so real in our heart, God, that you could stand and overcome the enemy, God. We stand as the church of the living God, asking tonight, God, for full and complete deliverance for a precious sister.
Grant it, Jesus.
And all those that are sick among us tonight. Wherever they are in the islands, God.
Yes, Lord.
With all these great promises that you lay before us.
Oh, we stand as a believing
we believe,
church,
God. That we could hold to, Father, with expectation, God. You know, who started this great work is more than able to finish it, Father.
Oh, God.
We thank you in advance, Father. We bless your name, God. We glorify your name, God. We praise
you.
Have your own way tonight, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ for your praise, your honor, and your glory with thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just try and greet your brother and sister in real godly Christian love. Tell them God bless them. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Seated tonight, amen. Oh, we want to give thanks to the grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Let the weak say, I'm strong tonight, amen. Give time. grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ. I'm rich, oh, because of what the Lord has done, has done. Oh, and I, oh, let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich, because of what the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your word. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speak to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree tonight. Amen. Trust you when your spirit speak to me. With my whole heart I'll agree.